Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today from The Scarlet Threads, which is an attempt to tell the history of what the Bible calls Babylon, a mystery called Babylon. And it is a mystery indeed, and it starts at the very beginning of time almost and goes, well, it's right now we're in the 14th century studying Martin Luther. But to study Martin Luther well, we need to know one of his main enemies, and that would be Pope Leo. He's going to clash with him later. According to De Rosa, who is, as he wrote this book, a Catholic, he said, Pope Leo is, for reasons not at first understood, chaste. That is, he had no mistresses and no nephews or bastards. The reason was probably that he was an adventurous homosexual. Giacciardini said the new pope was excessively devoted to the flesh, especially those pleasures which cannot with decency be mentioned. Instead of giving up everything to follow Christ, Leo grabbed all he could in Christ's name for himself. A gambler and a big spender, he was said to obey Jesus in only one thing. He took no thought for the morrow. He was an enthusiastic builder and patron of the arts. The contemporary historian Sarpi said of him, he would have been a perfect pope if to these artistic accomplishments he had even the slightest knowledge of religion. In Leo's Rome of 50,000 people, 7,000 registered prostitutes live. Syphilis abounds. Priests in particular contract this disease, driven to the whorehouses, often convents, by the crying normality of the male of our species, a normality forbidden to servants of the Pope. Luther, the prophet of his day, speaks out. At first, though, the issue is indulgences. The 95 theses that he nails to that special door we've talked about so often are meant to challenge anyone who so desires to a debate. They're not meant to be laws from God, only Luther's studied opinions. And shockingly enough, for we who study the Reformation, expecting 20th century fundamentalists in 16th century Europe, and many of us do, Luther is at first very supportive of the Pope and papal ways. I'm quoting from him now. Number one, oh, there's several things I could from the 95 Theses. Number one, Jesus intended that the whole life of believers should be penitence. Number five, the Pope has neither the will nor the power to remit any penalties except those which he has imposed by his own authority or by that of the canons. Number 13, the dying pay all penalties by death and are already dead to the canon laws and are by right relieved from them. Number 27, they preach human doctrine who say that the soul flies out of purgatory as soon as money thrown into the chest rattles. Number 28, it is certain that when the money rattles in the chest, avarice and gain may be increased, but the suffrage of the church depends on the will of God alone. 32. Those who believe that through letters of pardon they are made sure of their own salvation will be eternally damned along with their teachers. Number 52. Vain is the hope of salvation through letters of indulgence, even if a commissary, nay, the Pope himself, were to pledge his own soul for them. Number 53, they are enemies of Christ and of the Pope, who, in order that indulgences may be preached, condemn the word of God to utter silence in their churches. Number 86, why does not the Pope, whose riches are at this day more ample than those of the wealthiest of the wealthy, build the one basilica of St. Peter with his own money, rather than with that of poor believers? Number 89, since it is the salvation of souls rather than money that the Pope seeks by granting indulgences, why does he suspend the letters and indulgences granted long ago, since they are equally efficacious? Well, those who put together this little document of Luther's theses, mentioned that anyone who dared question Tetzel's statements could be threatened with the heretic's death, the stake. Tetzel, you remember, is the one who's selling these indulgences. Thus, with these kinds of statements and a growing number of books and lectures and sermons, in some of which he begins to make personal attacks on the Pope and the papacy in general, Martin Luther is finally called to account for himself in a series of confrontations with the Pope's men. Finally, in Worms, the city of Worms, the classic statement that brings about his final separation from Rome. And you've probably heard these words before from Martin Luther. If I should recall these books, I should do nothing else than add to the strength of this tyranny, and should open not windows only, but doors to this tremendous foe of religion. Because I am a man and not God, I cannot shield my practices with any other defense than that with which my Lord Jesus Christ himself vindicated his teaching. He said, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. Whoever can, whether high or low, let him bring forward the proof. Let him convince me of errors. Let the scriptures of prophecy and gospels triumph, for I will be wholly ready to revoke every error if I can be persuasively taught. Yes, I will be the first to cast my books into the fire. And therefore, your most serene majesty and your lordships, since they seek a simple reply, I will give one that is without horns or teeth. And in this fashion, I believe in neither Pope nor councils alone, for it is perfectly well established that they have frequently erred, as well as contradicted themselves. Unless then I shall be convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, I must be bound by those scriptures which have been brought forward by me. Yes, my conscience has been taken captive by these words of God. I cannot revoke anything, nor do I wish to, since to go against one's conscience is neither safe nor right. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen. Martin Luther. Then there was Huldrych Zwingli of Switzerland, who began to preach that pure gospel of Christ before anyone in his locality had so much as heard the name of Luther, not destined to as much fame, but steering a similar course. Zwingli intends to remain a Catholic and reform from within. That's what he wants to do. Most of the reformers were thus minded. When he begins to go off course, as we might put it, a nervous hierarchy offers Zwingli promises of ecclesiastical preferment, cash, and outright threats. Well, he gets worse, driving indulgence peddlers from Zurich. Independently of the other reformers, Zwingli comes to this conclusion, and I quote, "Canonic scripture, the word of God, given by the Holy Spirit and set forth to the world by the prophets and apostles, the most perfect and ancient of all philosophies, alone contains perfectly all piety and the whole rule of life." This conclusion, plus the implications that follow such a conclusion, plus the energetic reformation of a city, draws the papal armies to Zurich. And in the ensuing battle, Zwingli is killed. Such was the Reformation, so strong that it engendered a counter-reformation, which we will talk about later. We'll talk about the Council of Trent and how it is still in effect today, the curses that it has put upon you and me as protesters, Protestants of the Roman Catholic system. We'll stop it there today. That's not very long, I know, but I think that's enough to get you thinking again. And that's the intention of my heart every day. Well, there are other things on this website you may have noticed. We have the works of several great men of God. We have their stories. We have their words. We have North Korea audios by the hundreds, 400 in English, 400 in Korean. We have North Korea photo updates. They're not recent updates, but there's only so much I could say in terms of photography about North Korea until I began repeating myself. So I've let that go, but there's a lot there. Just click on photos, click on album, and you'll get several choices there. You can have a study of the Quran on this site, a study of Muhammad, a study of Bible prophecy, especially end time prophecy. We go through the Bible a couple times with questions and answers. We have commentaries, as the one we're doing now we just finished Ezekiel. I'm working now about two-thirds of the way through the book of Hebrews. We have poems that became songs, the great songs of the faith. Every Saturday I put out an audio about that. 61 titles if you're interested in book reading. Just click on store. You'll see what I mean. There are blogs now. You can go right to this site and read the blog that I try to come up with. I haven't in the last few days. Here I am in normal and present day time. It's September the 1st, 2021. You may be listening to this many years from now. There is a Zoom meeting every Saturday night. We would like to have men come and join us. Just send me an email, men, showing me that you're interested in this, and I will give you I'll send you back the invitation to come to that meeting. We have a Bible study. We've started having communion once a month now. We have prayer for each other. The whole meeting is only about an hour and 15 minutes, but it's rich fellowship every week. I do hope that you will join us, men. Let me know. Like to have Facebook friends, just go to Facebook and look me up, Bob Faulkner in Niles, Illinois, and send me a friend request. Then there's YouTube. Some of the preachers that I have put on this site I have transferred over there. There's not really a video of a sort. There's no live action there, but there are some of these same recordings. And I guess that's about it. Do join me in different ways. Let's get to be friends. And thank you so much. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.